Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
The board hired this outside financial expert, actually a former superintendent in Waukesha. His name is Todd Gray, to kind of shepherd them through that process. So, you know, there's the issue of leadership that will have some time to play itself out. But in the interim, they got to get these reports into DPI.
Handed him a giant ball of wax with twine in it and said, okay, clean this up for us.
What do you make of this here, Todd?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 6:12 on a Tuesday morning, breaking this morning, MPS Superintendent Dr. Keith Posley out.
I move to accept the resignation agreement of Dr. Posley.
Could I have a second, please? Director Jackson?
A second.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Gokul Gandhi?
Aye.
And Director so the Jackson. Ayes continued after hours of shouting and a lengthy closed session. Early this morning, the Milwaukee School Board accepted the resignation of Dr. Posley.
I just want to get this opportunity to say thank you. And to the board, thank you for trusting in me to serve the Milwaukee Public Schools. Thank you.
Posley, at the close of the meeting there.
It's kind of a nice, happy thank you.
Right? Sounded like he was just ending after a long, successful tenure.
No.
We want to thank everyone. The news release announcing his resignation came out at 2:28 a.m. today. All of this in the wake of the financial crisis that really came into focus only the last week and a half or so, gripping the state's largest school district over the potential loss of federal funding for the Head Start program. And then shortly thereafter, we learned that state funding was in jeopardy because the district has failed for months to get required financial reports to the State Department of Public Instruction.
We believed in you, but we no longer believe in you.
We need to fire this man.
Yes,
and I need y'all to understand that firing him, we cannot let that stop us.
MPS parents, teachers, other public officials packed that meeting at MPS headquarters Monday night and took their shots.
You need to do something tonight.
You know MPS is failing our students again, and you say nothing, you do nothing.
So that's what we expected.
Yeah.
This was their opportunity. And
off a little bit.
Yeah. And that went for hours.
Yep.
Both virtual and in person. Then the board went behind closed doors and the resolution that Dr. Posley would resign. It is effective at the end of this month, but he's basically no longer in charge. District announced regional superintendent for MPS, Eduardo Galvin, will run things while they search for an interim superintendent. That will get underway, and then ultimately they'll have to find a superintendent.
And it sounds like they're bringing in a consultant, too, to help with some of the financial issues.
Yeah, let me get you MPS board president Marva Herndon on that.
Our priority is to complete all documents and reports necessary to the Department of Public Instruction to avoid any delays in funding.
The board hired this outside financial expert, actually a former superintendent in Waukesha. His name is Todd Gray, to kind of shepherd them through that process. So, you know, there's the issue of leadership that will have some time to play itself out. But in the interim, they got to get these reports into DPI.
Handed him a giant ball of wax with twine in it and said, okay, clean this up for us.
What do you make of this here, Todd? Good
luck.
I think most observers would agree that the state is not going to allow millions and millions of dollars of funding to students in Milwaukee.
You would assume
be withheld, but they had to sound the alarm. And so now they'll begin that process. Meanwhile, the search for ultimate leadership there at MPS continues. Much more on this through the morning. 6:15 sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
So this never happens in Philadelphia. The crazy Philly fans, you've seen them. They're nuts.
I've experienced the Philly fans.
They hate their own.
Right? They fight with themselves.
They never do this. They gave a standing ode to an opposing player. Who was that? Well, it was former Philly Rhys Hoskins of your Milwaukee Brewers returning to Philadelphia for the first time.
Here's Rhys Hoskins.
Rhys Hoskins!
Really neat moment. And it went on for a long time. Real Muto, the catcher, walked away from the plate. The umpire walked away from the plate, forced him to stand there and don his cap, if you will. A great moment, the Philly faithful giving Hoskins that standing. Oh, he played for the Phillies, of course, for 6 years. They loved him.
I mean, I have to say that's a first for me. But, yeah, I think I was able to reel it in a little bit, got it right into the at-bat. Just overwhelmed with emotion there.
He ultimately would pop up in that first at-bat. Later, though, those cheers turned a bit.
The 2-1 pitch. Drive in the left field. Dahl is going back. Dahl on the track. Dahl at the wall. Goodbye, Philadelphia. Home run. Rhys Hoskins into the seats in left. The cheers turned to boos.
Yeah. I think the fans loved it, though.
Right.
They loved
like,
booing him
hey,
there.
What? I mean, we were happy for you and all to a point. You didn't have to do that.
That's how the score would stay. Brewers would fall 3-1. Offense just couldn't muster anything up against Zach Wheeler, who just pitched a gem. 7 innings for the Phils, giving up just that solo shot to Hoskins. Same teams tonight. Our coverage starts right after 5 p.m. First pitch around 5:40 right here on WDTMJ Radio. Don't forget, the manager, Pat Murphy, joins us at 7:45.
Green Bay Packers announced the annual shareholders meeting in Titletown will coincide with the first practice in training camp this summer. Early start for the Pack because we opened the season, remember, in Brazil. So July 22nd is when things kick off in Titletown. Meanwhile, in Chicago...
Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks! Come on!
Bears new quarterback Caleb Williams pumping his fists at a Wrigleyville bar as fans chant Green Bay sucks.
Wow. Wow.
Video,
right.
Video posted by Barstool Chicago on social media. Now, in fairness
hasn't even
to the young
taken
rookie,
a snap yet.
And he wasn't saying it. He was just enjoying
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't him cheering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crowd
right.
also chanted MVP for the rookie number one draft pick who hasn't played a down in the
wow.
NFL.
Mm.
So pretty high on him.
Yeah, I guess so.
Milwaukee Admirals are going to try to claw their way back into the Western Conference Finals Series tonight. They're down 0-2 to Coachella Valley. The Firebirds taking the first two on the road. President of the Milwaukee Admirals, John Greenberg, joins us at 8:40 this morning to stir things up. Puck drops at 7 p.m. tonight. Game 3 in that series at UWM Panther Arena. Expect to see some more bikes on the road this week. It's, well, if the weather cooperates.
Maybe if it doesn't rain and storm for once.
Right? Not a great front end for Bike Week 2024, at least as far as the forecast is concerned. You're going to have various entities promoting bike to work, maybe bike to school, all that kind of stuff. Other events just promoting biking as a recreation or exercise and an increased focus on building out infrastructure for bikes, be it trails or lanes on the road. In this month's Driver's Ed with Debbie, she sits down with a bike expert to see how things are going.
Do you remember your first bike? It was your first feeling of freedom. You thought, now that I have my own transportation, I can go anywhere. Well, it's true.
There is no doubt that bikes help kids explore more and feel, you know, the self-confidence just grows so much more when you're on a bike, and the freedom that you get is just parallel to none.
Owner of Wheel and Sprocket, Amelia Cagle, says it truly is a rite of passage for kids as well as parents. I mean, who doesn't remember running alongside your kid as they finally got rid of those training wheels?
Pedal faster! Pedal faster! There you go! There you go! There you go!
It's not just about wheels, pedals, and brakes these days.
So there is no doubt that the cheapest bicycle is going to be from a department store, all right? But I gotta just say, the bikes that you get from a department store are not built to last.
Most bike shops have upped their game when it comes to selection. Their bikes range from the most economical to the high-end, ultra-competitive $15,000 models for the Ironman races. But it wasn't always like this. During the height of the pandemic, many shops had an inventory issue.
There used to be no bikes in bike stores a year ago, but if you can see behind me, we are at the best stocking level we've actually ever been. So
supply chain hasn't been an issue for you?
You know, it's been an issue, but we've navigated it accordingly. We may not have exactly the right color, the right size, but we have a bike that'll do what you are looking to do.
And with the road improvements specifically for bikes in many municipalities, it's making things easier to get around in this mode. But don't forget, Wisconsin has some of the best bike trails in the country.
And if you haven't been on a bike in a while, like, this might be the summer for you. We've never had better bike infrastructure here in the city. Milwaukee has the Oakleaf Trail system that's 120 miles that spans like north, south, east, and west of the city. The connectivity of bike paths have never been better too. So.
Oh, and please remember, if you are on a bike, you are required to follow all the rules of the road, like cars. So stoplights, stop signs, yield signs, and crossing signals all apply to you too. Amelia says it's all about being predictable. Most car versus bike accidents happen because the driver didn't know what the biker was about to do. So best to keep all the hand signals and rules you learned as a kid in mind. They still apply.
Yay, I can do it! I can ride my bike!
So take some time this week to get in touch with that kid again. And remember this philosophy, good for learning to ride as well as a metaphor for life. If you look at the ditch, you go in the ditch. But in this life, if you look at the road, you stay on the road. Debbie Lozaga, WTMJ News.
Bike Week 2024. When does the mayor do his thing? I think
Thursday,
yeah. Deb? Right? Yeah. So that's like, I got it here. They're meeting at Tiefenthaler Park, 25th and Galena, at 8:30 on Thursday morning for their ride.
What would you ride? Like a little dirt bike or would you? A 10-speed?
Like, a little Schwinn.
The banana seat.
Yes. Oh, fantastic.
The gorilla handlebars.
I told this story before, but my kids, when they were learning to ride bikes, you know, I don't much ride a bike anymore. And I guess they had never seen me ride a bike. And it hadn't occurred to me. So when all three of my kids got, you know, bike ready and they're up and riding around, one of them says, "Boy, Dad, I sure wish you knew how to ride a bike. Then we could all ride bikes together."
Ouch.
I know how to ride a bike. I suppose they hadn't seen it before.
Right? Never happened.
Right. 6:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Brewers trying to bounce back against the Phillies in Philadelphia tonight. We got sports at 6:45.
A funeral home miracle, or maybe a nightmare in Nebraska. Authorities in Lincoln, Nebraska say a woman thought to be dead who died in hospice care was taken to the funeral home where she was very much alive. She's still alive.
Police say the 74-year-old woman had been transported from a nursing home where she was pronounced dead yesterday. 2 hours later, a funeral home employee saw the woman breathing and called 911.
A 74-year-old female that was believed to be deceased and brought here is now agonal breathing on the table.
Funeral home staff conducted CPR on the woman, and she was rushed to the hospital where her family was told she's still alive. The sheriff's office is investigating, but no charges are pending.
Wow. How does that happen? Yeah, I think there's something wrong there. So a little bit more from the chief deputy there in Lancaster County.
I'm sure they'll look at, see if new protocols need to be made or if they were all followed.
Well, I hope so. I hope they check the protocols, like checking for a pulse maybe before sending to the funeral home.
Is that at all any way medically possible that protocol was followed?
Yes.
Like
it sounds like that this they've never seen this before, that she had, by all accounts, passed away. I mean, I'm sure there's a science behind it that would indicate what happened there, but
I would very much like to know what that is. At least we didn't get to like the funeral day.
Right.
She sits up.
Oh man. Well, imagine if you're that guy though. You're the guy that likes sent her to the funeral. Yeah. You checked her out of hospice.
Sorry, folks. She's gone.
Yeah, you're
very
the one.
Sorry to inform you.
So then you're the one calling the family back? Yeah. So
good news. So are you sitting down? Good news.
Yeah, she's still with us. So thankfully, she's still with us.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
I didn't insult him a little bit.
Maybe it's Robert De Niro this time who's a little bit insulted. That story next. Key. Okay. 6:41 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Actor, recently turned political activist Robert De Niro has been uninvited to an event tonight where he was supposed to get an award.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
I didn't insult him
a little bit.
De Niro in Goodfellas. Was his name Jimmy?
I think that's right, name, right?
Jimmy.
What a movie.
Talking to Billy Batts there. You're a little out of line. No, I didn't insult nobody. Billy Batts took it after that. From the New York Post.
Anyway.
The National Association of Broadcasters has revoked its award and invitation to the Celebration of Service to America Awards event to De Niro because the group thought his recent work and comments on behalf of the president's reelection campaign would, quote, create a distraction. Now, why would that be? Just days before the verdict came down in the trial against former President Donald Trump, inexplicably, the Biden campaign held a news conference outside the courthouse with De Niro as the headliner. He started a bit unhinged.
If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye that we all take for granted. And elections, forget about it. That's over. That's done. If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave. He will never leave.
So he continued on, and then even if you were in the Biden campaign and originally thought this was a good idea, this is where it begins unraveling further. De Niro starts tangling with Trump supporters.
I don't even know how to deal with you, my friend. I don't even know how to deal with you.
Can you imagine being like a regular old person and you went out there to whatever in that moment? Like, you're seeing no separation between the guy and the mobsters that he played. Like, he's in character. And you're just some guy who shouted something at Bobby De Niro.
You're afraid you're going to get curb stomped or something.
Right, next thing you know, right, you're in Tommy DeVito's trunk getting it. So, anyway, this dissolves even further. Last week, again, De Niro dropping F-bombs on Trump-supporting hecklers.
Take that stupid hat off. You're a bunch of clowns. When you see this guy get elected,
so, National Association of Broadcasters didn't much like the look of any of that. De Niro was supposed to get an award tonight at the Celebration of Service to America. That's out. He's uninvited. Here's a statement from the Vice President of Communications. While we strongly support the right of every American to exercise free speech and participate in civic engagement, it is clear that Mr. De Niro's recent high-profile activities will create a distraction from the philanthropic work that we are hoping to recognize. I'm not kidding you, E. Vice President of Communications for NAB is Alex Siciliano.
Of course.
Now we've got De Niro v. Siciliano.
What are you, stupid? What's the matter with you?
I apologize.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you? So here's Siciliano. This event is proudly bipartisan, uniting those from across the political spectrum to celebrate the impactful work of local broadcasters and our partners. We look forward to a night of celebration, et cetera, et cetera.
Because no one else has any political thoughts that are coming tonight.
Well, at least they didn't tangle out there and start dropping F-bombs on people.
I suppose.
So no award for De Niro, uninvited to the party. I guess you could say he became untouchable.
I get nowhere unless the team wins.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Oh, to be loved the way Phillies fans love the Brewers' Rhys Hoskins.
You made her life. Hey, thank you.
Have fun tonight, all right?
Life. Did I catch that right?
Yes. That moment caught on social media, posted on the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel site of Hoskins signing an autograph for a young Phillies / Brewers fan before the game. Now, during the game, a standing O for Hoskins, the former Philly.
Now, here's Rhys Hoskins.
Designated hitter.
It went on for a long time, a long standing O. He played 6 years for the Phils, injured his knee last year, and then, of course, plays for the Brewers. Now manager Pat Murphy.
He's left an impression on this fan base, like he will on ours. You know what I mean? Like, people already recognize who the guy is and recognize how he goes about his business and what a pro he is.
Hey, I remember it on opening day. At AmFam, I was there and I talked to a Phillies fan who lives in the area. He's from Oak Creek. And he went to the game specifically in a Phillies Rhys Hoskins jersey because he wanted to show his support to Hoskins. And he told me, I did an interview with him. He said fans are going to love him here, that he's an absolute gem of a player. And it's absolutely right. He's a fan favorite, you could argue.
Brewers owner Mark Attanasio was in town over the weekend. Had a chance to catch up with him. And he said he was at the public market in Milwaukee and a woman from Philadelphia who found out who he was, came out to him and said, hey, give us Reese back. We're not happy about this.
So Hoskins would pop up that at bat. He would later walk, steal a base against his buddy, Phillies catcher J.R. Realmuto, and kind of smiled at him after he stole that base. Realmuto telling the Philadelphia media after the game that that stolen base was really pitcher Zach Wheeler's fault.
It was definitely on Wheeler, but nonetheless, he stole the base on me, so he said he's going to have that one forever.
Yeah, that was Wheeler's fault. So was the rest of the game. Wheeler's fault for fisticuffing the crew. 7 innings, 5 hits, and a 1 run allowed. That was a Hoskins solo shot in the 7th. Same teams tonight. Our coverage starts right after the 5 p.m. news. First pitch around 5:40 right here on WDTMJ Radio.
And Milwaukee Admirals calling all fans. They need some home cooking badly. Down 0-2 in the best of 7 Calder Cup semifinals to the Coachella Valley Firebirds. Puck drops at 7 p.m. tonight at UWM Panther Arena. Friend of the program and two-time sports writer of the year for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lori Nickel, is on with us on Wisconsin's Morning News this morning. Hi, Lori.
Good morning.
I could not wait to ask you about what's happening in the WNBA right now, which are words that I honestly heretofore hadn't ever seen myself saying, but right. I, like many sports fans across the country, are now paying attention to women's basketball. And for me, it's for one reason. It's because Caitlin Clark is an extraordinary player and sort of transcended the game. I started paying attention. But now all sorts of controversy swirling around her entrance into the WNBA as they're just getting their season kind of underway.
Well, I don't know if you know all of these things that have happened in the last couple of days. I mean, one player and one foul, you know, the Indiana Fever played the Chicago Sky, and there was a foul that happened. She got hip-checked by another player. And the cascading effect of this one play is something I have not seen in sports other than one time in my life, and that was the Brett Favre, I want to be traded, 2008 summer. Other than this, I've never seen – this makes the Tommy Pham, William Contreras, like beef a couple of days ago, look like child play. I mean, the Chicago Tribune has written an editorial calling the foul an assault. And then the Chicago Tribune Bulls beat reporter denounced the op-ed piece from her own paper. You know, USA Today and CNN are calling for the WNBA to react. Pat McAfee is doing what he does on his show, and he called her a white word that rhymes with witch. But he was trying to bring up the racial component of this, which has been underlying. Another reporter got Stephen A. Smith speechless on air. We've never seen anything like that before. Oh, I mean, I have never. And then in all of this, Angel Reese, the other player who has had a beef with Caitlin Clark all this time, says, hey, don't forget about me. I'm the reason that people are watching the WNBA as well. So there's so much drama. And it's perfect for social media right now, for the era that we live in with these 6-minute videos, with these quick reactions. I don't even really feel comfortable commenting on this too much because I haven't covered all this. I have to look up the score of the game to see who won. Like, we never even talked about basketball. It's all this infighting, people cutting each other down. It's drama. And I don't know that I love it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a little strange. I have to admit, I'm not sure I love it either, although I have to admit the league absolutely loves it.
Well, attendance numbers for the Caitlin Clark games are close to 17,000 to 18,000, and around the rest of the league, they're probably up around 7,000 or 8,000. You're definitely seeing people, whenever Caitlin Clark, the former Iowa star, goes on the road with her new team, there's fans turning out for her, like waiting in line just to get a picture, and she's greeting people. So she's like this ambassador as well. I'm sure the league loves it. I don't even know if the players appreciate it, though, because of all this attention. They don't have to fly coach anymore. They've been flying charter flights and are treated like professionals. But a lot of this is because of the influx of the interest with Caitlin Clark. You know, Caitlin Clark has the allyship of LeBron James and several other athletes, pro famous athletes. And yet there's all this crazy infighting, and we hardly ever talk about basketball. We talk about this side drama.
What's interesting too, and it'll just, we'll have to see how it plays out, but is there anything that you know about Caitlin Clark as an athlete that has demonstrated how she's going to handle this. This is a whole new world of pressure outside the lines, right? So there's all this attention on her, and she's used to having some additional attention. But this is a whole other thing when you have people on The View talking about stuff, when you have the whole country talking about a racial element, about fairness, all of this stuff. That's a different thing to see how she as an athlete will continue to move forward.
You know, and she's not an angel either. I mean, she talks her stuff. You know, she mixes it up. She's a hardcore competitor. I think that's why a lot of us like her. I mean, there's a lot of words you could use to describe her that I can't say on air, but she's a tough kid, hard-nosed kid. She's going to mix it up. But she, to me, in recent interviews, has looked a little weary of this, having to talk about it. She says she's taking two or three hits that aren't called on the opponent a game. Like, there's a target on her back. You know, she had an offer to play in another league and make a lot of money. You know, does she reconsider her career? Does she have doubts? I don't know. I don't, but I'm going to an NBA game this summer. I swear I have to cover it and see what it's like now, because I would like to learn more about her as well.
Lori Nichol, friend of the program, with us on Tuesday mornings. Thanks, Lori.
Thanks so much, guys.
And here we wondered if the WNBA would be able to...
Would there be a carryover?
Yeah, would there be a carryover from the college to the pros? Apparently
it carried over.